Okay, did everybody drink coffee? You know, that kind of stuff? Wake up and right, everybody looked kind of tired today. I was telling Abe that last night I went to a picnic and then I played basketball. We didn't get home till 10:30 at night, so I was kind of tired myself, but now I woke up. So I was I drank coffee and all that kind of stuff, so I feel good now. A couple of things I want to mention to you. I was just about to tell Abe this story when we got interrupted, so that's all right. But I'm going to tell the whole congregation. It's very interesting. There's a group called Challenge Ministries, and it's from the assemblies. And what it is a team that goes to different assemblies and cities, and they're doing this men's discipleship. And it's being really blessed by the Lord. So we had one of the men's conferences. I'm part of that, the speaking team for this Challenge Ministry thing. We had a men's conference in Pennsylvania about 3 weeks ago, maybe four, I can't remember the exact date, the first weekend of May. And there was over 200 men that showed up. It was impressive, a lot of men. But I want to give you the schedule just to give you an idea of what it was like, without exaggerating one inch. It was so amazing. We got there on Friday, and the first meeting started at 5:30 in the evening. All right, so 5:30, 45-minute sermon, and then a break for like a 25-minute prayer, and then another 45-minute sermon, and then they had a breakout session. And when you break out in groups, then you brought them back in. Then they had singing and another 45-minute preaching. So that's three just in one evening, plus the breakout session and the prayer. Then another breakout session. So by the time it was over that night, Friday night, it was 11:45 at night. Okay? That's Friday night. Saturday morning at 7, from 7 to 7:30, they had a men's a Bible study. Then we went out to do breakfast, came right back, had singing, had a 45-minute sermon, had a break, had a time of prayer for about 20 minutes, then singing and another 45-minute sermon. Then after that breakout session, then another 45-minute sermon, and then another breakout session. By this time, it was 2:30 in the afternoon, all right? So then they finally let us go out to eat lunch. All right, and then we came back at 6:30, three more 45-minute sermons, another prayer meeting, another singing, and two more breakout sessions. So it ended at 11:45 at night, Saturday night. Sunday morning, 7 to 7:30, a Bible study. We did a quick breakfast, come back, the Lord's Supper, 30 minutes of singing, 20 minutes of praying, two more 45-minute sermons, and then they finally said, we better cancel the last breakout session because they're kicking us out of the place, right? Now, isn't that amazing? That was like in one weekend, all of that preaching. And here's the thing, I was second to last. There was four of us that rotated speaking. And I was second to last. And even at that, after all of that, they were like this, listening. I couldn't believe it. The Spirit of God was moving such a powerful way. We saw some people get saved. And some men just really getting healed from some hurts and some things. And what an amazing weekend that was. And I said for your encouragement, because it's growing to the point where they're thinking of doing three of them, one in the Bermudas, one in Toronto, and one in Pennsylvania. But if you get a chance to go out to one of these men's studies, it's fantastic. By the way, when we preach to the men, all the women are told to leave, because it's just for men. Because we talk some men's subjects that are really strong. But wow, what a blessing and what a time of growth and healing. So pray for that. God is really blessing it in such an amazing way. Also, I've mentioned to you several times about my sister, Diana, my older sister, who had cancer, and because of her, my family was saved. Remember that? All right. So anyway, she was really sick, and we thought maybe we were going to lose her. But the Lord lifted her up again, as He's done so many times. And this was her prayer. Lord, I'm praying that You don't take me home until I get to see my granddaughter. Right? So her daughter had a baby a couple of days ago, and so the Lord answered that prayer. She was able to see her granddaughter. In fact, she might come up and visit in July. So it's like a miracle in itself, that whole story. All right? And so also I would like to ask you to pray for me Next weekend, I'm at Tim's old church in West Virginia. Right, I'm going to be doing a little mini conference over there. Then I go directly to Tennessee for a whole week of camp. Then I come back and I have to do some more teaching. And so it's a really heavy schedule. So if you would remember me in prayer, especially that I don't fall asleep driving between one place to the other. So just keep us in mind with all of that. All right, I would appreciate it greatly. All right, so let's go to Psalm 23. Let's go to Psalm 23. And why don't we stand up? Why don't we stand up and read it? I'm going to read it. But why don't we do it standing up? There was a friend of mine, every time he teaches, he tells the whole congregation to stand up. He says, out of reverence for the Word of God. So I'm doing this with a double motive. One, to wake you up. Secondly, because it is the Word of God, and we do want to have reverence as we read it. So let's read this psalm. Maybe it's familiar to you. Maybe you already have it memorized. I don't know. But just listen as I read it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow, of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. You may have a seat. As I was saying to you before, until I studied this psalm in detail, and I did read that book by this brother Philip, and I read it three times. I was so fascinated by it, but he explained so many details about sheep and how they function, how they think, how to take care of them, that I was just like, wow, this is great. So I read it a second time and I was taking little notes, and then I went back a third time just because I was so blessed by it. So I do recommend it. Would you agree that it's worth the read? By Philip Keller, A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23. I also want to recommend another book. This is by Ray Stedman, and it's called Let God Be God. And it's based on the book of Job. Listen, you owe it to yourself to read this book. Wow, it just blessed me beyond belief. But you have to read this book. It is fantastic. Ray Stedman, Let God Be God. It would really, really encourage you and bless you. And just give you a good perspective for the Christian walk in life. Okay, so we were talking that this psalm only makes sense and only can be true if the shepherd is the Lord, right? If it's the shepherd has to be diligent, hardworking. He has to really care for the sheep and really love them and have a plan for the sheep. So everything hinges in this text on the shepherd. Right, so if the shepherd is no good, then this can't be true. And this is also if you will, a pattern for what a shepherd should look like—a regular shepherd taking care of sheep. A shepherd, the elders, or pastor elders of a local assembly, how they should be taking care of sheep too. Being that I was an elder for over 20 years, and so I'm like, wow, you know, take notes, listen. And learn from this. Now, the Bible always, usually you see throughout the Bible, God referring to himself as a shepherd. Jesus also said he was the good shepherd. And I think Hebrews says he's a great shepherd. And Peter says he's a shepherd and guardian of our soul. And so you see this analogy all throughout Scripture, and it's important. Now, we are called sheep. All right? So participate with me. What does the Bible say about us as sheep? Or what do we know about sheep? We are what?
Bad.
That was good. That was real good. All right. So we're. Now I'm gonna have a hard time now composing myself. Okay. So yes, we are that way. I don't want to say it because I really start laughing. All right. So we're that way. What else besides that? All right, thank you. We are, and as you look at your life, you look at this psalm, you, and think about how many dumb mistakes you made in the past, or, and then the ones you're going to make. You're like, man, Lord, good grief, how goofy can I be? And yet, that's what we are. Okay, what other do we learn? What the, as the Lord calls us sheep, what do we learn about it? We're what? Turn astray, that's right. Do our own thing, right? Okay, another word. We are?
Pretty helpless.
Helpless, exactly. No defense. The sheep have no defense, no natural defense. So, yes, helpless. Then, another word?
Easily led.
Easily led. And he gave us a story a while ago about that. Yeah, y'all want to hear a good story? He'll tell you about it later, right? Thank you. All right, easily led. There's another word. We are what? Stubborn. Amen. How many of you had good fights with your wife or your brother and sister? And they said, "But you're so stubborn, right?" You heard that one? So we're very stubborn. We're stubborn. And we are very destructive. We are destructive. Left to our own, think about it. Our parents are trying to guide us. And even with them trying to, we get so mad. Oh, leave me alone. You know, y'all are so old-fashioned, so goofy. And if we weren't for our parents, think about the mess we would have made. We, as it is, we make a mess. But there's a parent guiding us, and then they spank us for being so stubborn, right? So destructive, and we get mad at them. We do. We get mad at our parents, and they're so old-fashioned, they don't understand us, and so we're very destructive. All of this is true of us. Wow, what a picture the Bible paints of our lives. And so what do we need then? Because all of this is true of us, what do we need? A shepherd. We need guide. And so I still call my parents and talk to them and ask them questions. You know? My dad is a very godly man. And I ask him, "Dad, I have this situation. What do I do with these people?" And he always gives me some advice. Right? And my mom is always praying, a prayer warrior. And they're always praying for me. But we need guidance. You know? And I know that my kids need guidance. And so that's our role, is to play the shepherd role right with our kids, to teach them. You can't let them go on their own, because you know they're going to mess it all up. And so that's our part. So we need a shepherd. And this whole psalm hinges on the shepherd. I keep emphasizing this because this is true. It all hinges on the shepherd. If that's not true, none of this makes sense. So it has to be the great shepherd, the good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Because of that, I shall not want. All right. Now let's go on to some of the points that we were making. Okay, now first of all, we were noticing that the shepherd does seven things. All right, verse 2, he leads. Verse 3, he restores. Verse 3 again, he guides. Verse 4, he comforts. Verse 5, he provides. Verse 6, he anoints. And verse 5, he anoints, and verse 6, he dwells forever. Now, you can add another point if you want, and this, my cup overflows, and I'll talk about that in a minute when we get to it. All right? So, this is true of the shepherd. He leads. Now, we were saying that as sheep, as people, we need four things to be able to lie down. Now, the Lord wants us to rest in him. Amen? Hebrews chapter 2, doesn't it say that we need to enter into his rest? Is it 2 that says it? 2 or 3? 2, right? Enter into the rest. And so there is a rest a believer needs to obtain or get to, where you can go to bed and quit worrying and being anxious. How many of you are anxious and worrying constantly, right? And yet, the Bible says, be not anxious. Right? But bring it before the Lord in prayer. And yet we're constantly, let me say it to myself, I'm constantly anxious. And the Lord has been trying to teach me for years to stop being anxious, but to learn to trust him. And now I'm learning to trust my shepherd. So, in order to lie down, to have the rest the Lord wants for us, we need to be free of fear. We need to be free of friction. We need to be free of parasites and flies, and free of hunger. We already talked about that, and first I'm just kind of reviewing. We're going to enter into today, this thoughts now. Could somebody give me a cup of water, please, real quick? Yeah, thank you, Brother Paul. Okay, so in order for us to have these four things, as he tries to make me lie down in green pastures, that is, the picture is the sheep are lying down and they're relaxed and they're enjoying themselves, right? Okay, sometimes you can go through some pastures and you see cattle or sheep, the grass is really green and thick and they're just sitting there, man. It's like, whoa, I want to be where they're at. They're kind of like relaxed and just, you know, real, they look real at peace. And that's what the Lord wants for us, to be able to go to bed free of fear. It's not easy to do, is it? All right, and then free of friction, which means the shepherd is right there beside us and he's telling us, get it right. And then free of sickness and free of hunger. Thank you so much, brother. I appreciate it. Okay, so we were... we looked at that. Then we looked at that. He leads me besides quiet waters. And we were saying how the shepherd is directing the sheep to clean waters, to streams, or where their water is clean. And we were noticing that as he's doing that, a lot of the sheep have the bad habit of stopping and drinking out of puddles. Right? And of course, within that is all the mess. And so they consequently, they get sick. And we're saying that that's a picture of our lives, that even with the shepherd guiding us, we always stop and we look at sin. And we want to taste it. We want to see what it's like. And sin always promises, you know, great things. And then it always damages and always has consequences. Sin always has consequences, period. Right? Okay, so we were looking at that. And so then we looked at when that happens, when we stumble into sin, the Lord doesn't come and break our legs. Remember, we were correcting that notion that the shepherd goes and breaks the leg of a lamb. We were saying that that's probably not true. What the shepherd does is that he finds a cast down sheep. What does cast down mean? Remember? What does it mean? We remember. Turned over with his feet up in the air. And the sheep can't put himself back up. Now, how many times have we blown it? Have we fallen into sin or screw up? We get into bad habits and we can't correct ourselves. And so it's a pathetic sight, a sheep with his feet up in the air, and it's only a matter of time, man. It's going to die unless the shepherd comes to restore it. And our lives are the same way. We make a mess of it, and we say, Lord, help me. I've made a mess. I repent. I want to be restored. And so we were saying how Galatians 6 says, when someone stumbles into sin, and the idea is, it's not a rebel, it's somebody who has a bad habit that they can't control, or someone who keeps stumbling into certain sin. Not a rebel, but someone who needs victory over the sin and needs to be restored. All right? And so instead of breaking the leg, the Bible says to mend the leg, restore. Mend the leg, bandage it so it'll start to heal. Okay? And so the Lord, then verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. That's the plan. That's what the shepherd wants to do. And we need to let him allow us to do that in our lives. And then he also leads me beside quiet waters. And we have the tendency to go and mess that up. Consequently, he restores my soul. He has to restore us from what we've done. And then notice the next thing then. As we looked at cast down and what that means, we saw that already. The shepherd comes and straightens up the sheep. Now, here's what it has to do. Once it straightens it up, puts it back on its feet, it has to rub its legs so that the blood will start flowing again, and then the sheep can stand up on its own. And that speaks of the loving care of the shepherd, taking care of us and getting us back on our feet. You see, I grew up thinking that if you screwed up, that they're going to bring you up in front of church and embarrass you, and this person sinned. See, because they actually did that in the local church I grew up in. You know what I thought? Oh my word, I can't make a mistake. I can't stumble into a sin because they're going to put me in front of everybody and say, he sinned. And of course, you know, they actually did that. And I was a teenager when I saw it, and I was stunned. I never forget it. I still remember. Those people never came back to church again. That's not the idea. And so this notion that the shepherd will go and break a leg, that's not that's not the picture that this psalm is portraying. But it's portraying the shepherd as someone who restores your soul. And often we've done that, we've needed to be restored, right? Or am I the only one? Amen? We need to be restored. And so, Lord, He restores my soul. All right, so sometimes we're rejected. Sometimes we taste defeat. We fall under temptation and we need to be restored. And the Lord does that. And then notice the following thing He does. He guides me in the paths of righteousness. So once the shepherd sees the sheep drinking out of the puddle, he pushes them away and guides them in the right way. And so we allow the shepherd, through the Holy Spirit and through scriptures and through the hearing of God's word, to guide us. He'll guide us in the paths of righteousness and the way we should live. And so praise the Lord that we have a shepherd who cares for us and who is constantly guiding us through the scriptures. So we have to be in the scriptures and be guided, right? And the Lord will guide us. But I want you to notice what it says. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. You see, because a believer that has stumbled into sin and is not restored is actually a stain in the name of Christ. And when that person repents and looks up to the shepherd so he can be restored, the shepherd will guide him in a righteous way. So that you can live a righteous life and make righteous decisions, wise decisions. And what does this do? It glorifies the shepherd. That's what it does. That's what it says, for His own name's sake. And as I was reading the book also on shepherding, he was saying that the reputation of the shepherd depends on how he takes care of the sheep. And the shepherds that have branches know which one's sloppy and which one isn't. And the Lord looks sloppy in the eyes of the world when we're not walking a life of righteousness. So for His own name's sake, He wants us to obey Him and live a life of righteousness. But we have to allow the shepherd to guide us into those righteous paths. All right? And so notice then the next thing he says. Now, you need to make a note there that there's a transition here. Now, verse 2 and 3, as I studied about the sheep rancher, right? Verse 2 and 3 is what you call winter and spring. The sheep are in the ranch, in the home ranch. The shepherd is in his home, and he's constantly going out and looking and checking the sheep, making sure they're okay, seeing if they're not drinking out of those puddles, guiding them, rotating them from one field to another, keeping them healthy, watching out for them, because they're very destructive. And after the winter and spring are done, then they go on a trek up the mountains. All right? So that's where verse 4, 5, and 6 come in. All right? Now, when they do this, the shepherd will actually get a backpack and pack a sleeping bag and some provisions. And he's actually going to go with the sheep. Now, notice, this is important. He's going to go with the sheep up the trek of the mountains. All right? So no longer is the shepherd then looking from his home and going out and constantly checking. Now he's with them and they're going together through this long trek throughout the summer and fall. All right? Now, this doesn't make sense unless you understand it that way. Okay? Now, all of you, I'm sure, have been to mountains, right? Has anyone here not seen a mountain or been to a mountain? I'm assuming everybody has, right? Okay. Now, in order to get up the mountains, what do you have to go through?
Mountain.
Thank you. Right? The valley. You can't just get up there unless you get in a helicopter or something. But we're talking realistic, you know, right? You have to go through a valley to get to the mountain, right? So, this picture then. Here's a shepherd. He's got his gear. He's got his staff now and a club. And he's walking with the sheep. And they're going to go. And he's going to spend all of this time with them in the valleys and up in the mountains. Okay? That's what that's talking about. Notice then, verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. See how it says? You're with me? Because the shepherd was with the sheep. All right? Now this is important, because here's the sheep, and all of a sudden they have to go through these valleys, and they have a lot of real pretty pastures and nice streams. Have you noticed that when you go to mountains, you see these streams, a lot of green grass, but there's also a lot of dangers there, right? When you start heading out, you're always going to have the danger of coyotes, wolves, bear, cougars, right? A cougar. In fact, my brother in Texas ran into a cougar. He was taking care of his ranch, and he was working on the fence. And all of a sudden, he noticed a herd of pigs run by him, wild pigs. That's weird, because pigs will hide from you. They won't just run like that. And he always carries a handgun on him when he's in the ranch. And so he sees these pigs running. He goes, oh, man, maybe I can shoot one and I can have, pig roast. So he starts chasing them. He's totally out of shape. So he runs for about 40 yards. And he's like, and then he turns around. And you know why the pigs were running? There was a cougar chasing them. So he turns around and there's a cougar from here to the organ or piano. What is that? That thing right there. He turns around and there's a cougar right there, and they're staring at each other. And of course he's freaking out. His heart is pumping and he's like shaking and he's trying to grab his, he was going to reach for his gun. And so they're staring. It was like a stare session. I think he was just as stunned when he saw my brother, right? And then all of a sudden he just darts off and takes off before he pulled his gun out and disappeared. So that's what it's talking about. There's danger in these valleys, all right? Now these valleys, they talk about all the things that happen in life. Now, many of you are my age or older. Some are maybe are blessed to be a little younger, but there's a lot of valleys in life. Sometimes all of a sudden you get news, you got cancer. Tragedy happens, brokenness, disappointment, crushing loss. You lose a spouse, you lose a parent, and there's all kinds of valleys, disappointments that happen. Now, here's the thing. Whenever the sheep suffer in the valley, the shepherd's right there suffering with them. If it rains and there's ice and it's cold, guess what? The shepherd is shaking with them, right? Because he's there living with them as they're going up to the mountain. Now, the Savior, Jesus, the Bible says that He's empathetic and sympathetic towards me. In other words, He understands me because He's with me in everything I go through in life. Right? And He, by becoming a man, He became that sympathetic priest that can actually enter into my pain. He can enter into my disappointment, my sadness, or whatever it is that I need. Those valleys, and He's right there, and He goes, I understand. And He has a unique way of saying it, and it's true. I understand what you feel, and I'm right here, right beside you. Did you notice what it said? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? For thou, shepherd, art with me. Thou art with me. I told you that I was confronted with this flood and this news and all that. And I thought, you know what? I've been studying this psalm. And guess what? Shepherd, I don't know if you went through a flood or not in your walk on earth, but you know what a flood's like because you flooded the earth, right? But you know about floods. And I know that right now, you're with me. And I have to make a decision. Am I going to trust and know that you're with me? You understand where I'm at? Or am I going to get all nervous? Am I going to fear evil? And so, even though I've walked through these areas, there's a shepherd right there, right by my side. What a comfort this is to your life. When something happens, to know that the shepherd understands you and he's right there, right by your side. It was such a comfort as I applied this to my own life when something happened to me. Alright? So, wow. What a blessing as believers to have the shepherd walking along side us through whatever we may go through and understanding what we feel like. Because sometimes people don't understand what we feel like, right? But Jesus, our great shepherd, does. Notice then that says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, as they're going up the valley and they're going climbing the track, I already told you there's coyotes, wolves, and all that. And I've been in the ranches, my uncle's ranches in Mexico, hunting, and as I'm hunting a rabbit, I see coyotes. And I've shot coyotes and all that, trying to get to the cattle, all right, and wolves. And so the shepherd has this club-like thing, and apparently they're so good at it that they can can launch it to 30, 40 feet and hit a coyote and knock him down. Right? And so the book gives several examples of how this happens. They're really accurate with it. David also had the sling where he could fire that rock and wham, you know, hit him. And David says that as a shepherd, he fought a bear and a lion. And so you can see that he really cares for the sheep because he was willing to risk his life fighting a bear and a lion to protect the sheep. And so that's why it says that the rod and the staff, they comfort. The rod is for protection and also for discipline if needed. But the staff, that crook thing, is also for comfort. The book was saying that sometimes he'll get a sheep and just pull it towards the shepherd wheel and just kind of rub the sheep. And the sheep gets comforted knowing that the shepherd is caring for it. And so that's the idea behind that statement right there. All right? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now notice the next statement. So they're climbing. It's summer. They're going up because they want to get to the mountains, to the top of the pastures up there. So they're going through trouble valley. They're going through rainstorms, through cold fronts that come in still, because you know it can still get cold in the mountains at that time. When I went to Colorado for a conference, we were up in the mountains, and it was June, and we went up to a certain part of the mountains, and there was still like 10 feet of snow up there. It was amazing, even in summer, right? And so, whatever the sheep suffered, the shepherd was suffering right along with them. I'm going to keep saying that because this makes sense when you understand it that way. Okay? Now, notice the next one. Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Right? What does this mean? Right, at the top of the mountains, that's what they call tabletops, right? Or mesas in Spanish. Tabletops, which is like flat pieces of land and it's got real nice grass, right? You probably have seen it, seen pictures of it. Right, so here's what I learned though, that the shepherd goes ahead of the sheep up to those tablelands and he has to pull these flowers that grow, that if the sheep eat it, they die. So he's got to spend several days up there looking for them and pulling them and getting them out so that the sheep won't eat them and die. So it's a lot of work. And this shepherd says that he took his sons with him and they would spend days and days pulling them and pulling them and making sure everything was good. And then they would get minerals and salts and throw it in the grass to make the grass get richer and thicker and more healthy for the sheep. Right? And so he's up there in the tablelands preparing a table, right, for them, getting it ready. That's what it's talking about. All right, so they would follow the shepherd then up the mountain, and then it was all ready to go. And wow, the sheep would get all excited. Look at all this green, rich food, right? And so notice the thought, though, too, that thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. The enemies, again, are the coyotes, the bears, the wolves, the cougars, right? And so they could be eating green grass at the same time a cougar's looking at them from the woods. And he can't come near because the shepherd's right there. Right? Protecting them. And so, again, that's us, the Lord, going through all the hard work to make sure that we're safe and we're blessed in our Christian walk. Right? It wasn't easy for the shepherd to go up there and pluck all those plants out and do all that work. But he does it for us. And again, the Lord always preparing, providing for us, taking care of us. And so, as we were going through our outline, remember, the next thing is he prepares a table before me. He provides, in other words, for us, for our needs. And so the Lord's always at work, always working on our behalf. What a blessing to know that. But who's up there doing all that work? The shepherd. The shepherd is doing all that work, pulling those weeds, throwing the minerals down, doing whatever it takes, and sleeping with the sheep as they're up there protecting them. Wow, what a shepherd that we have, right? Amen? Now look at the next one. Thou dost anoint my head with oil. Sheep have the tendency to get like scabs and stuff on their head, right? Is that true, brother? You were with the sheep up there and... He was a miner, right? So you didn't pay attention. Well, according to the books I read and the investigation I did, it's true. They tend to get these scabs on their head. Okay? It's very annoying. And so what the sheep will do is they'll rub their head on the ground or on a tree, or bang it because it's so annoying. And so the shepherd takes along an anointment, like a medicine. And I forget what's in it, all kinds of stuff that I don't want to misrepresent, but you know, it's got the medicine. So it's like an oil, and he puts it on the head of the sheep, and it provides relief. Right? And you know that the anointing speaks of the Holy Spirit, right? Which is our comforter, who walks alongside of us. 1 John 4, you have the anointing. He's already in your life. So it's the Holy Spirit walking along, comforting us, teaching us, guiding us, directing us. Amen? Right? All right, so you do anoint my head with oil, even though it literally means to put oil on the head of a sheep. We know that for us, it's the Holy Spirit, who's so gracious and guides us and directs us and leads us. All right? So then they're up there in the top in the mountains enjoying. Oh my goodness, am I out of time?
Nope.
What time am I supposed to end? All right, 2 minutes. Okay, 2 minutes ago? All right. 3 minutes and I'm done. I'll be quick. Man. Okay, my cup overflows means that they start coming down the mountain because the fog starts coming in the cold fronts, and then it gets real cold and icy and the sheep are shaking. So he carries along this potion that he gives them. All of a sudden they start bouncing, it warms them up, right? And that's what that's talking about. And I don't know how to apply that to your life, you know, so don't worry about that. And then finally, let's just close out with this beautiful thought. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. Sure, when you have a shepherd like that, can't you say that? Can't you say that? Even through the valleys? Yes, because the shepherd is right there alongside of you, and he went through a valley. And so we can literally say that this is true. All right? And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That means that, of course, we're going to be with him forever in heaven. So because of all this, I shall not want. I shall not want. The Lord takes care of us, doesn't he? And that's why David could say confidently, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Okay, praise the Lord. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus, our shepherd. Wow, we're so blessed to know that he is with us, even through the valleys and in whatever we go through. And he's constantly preparing the table before us and anointing us and just blessing us. We feel so privileged to have a shepherd like Jesus. Praise your name. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' name.